Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Marcom Woman Relationship Reload. We are so excited to have you here tonight. after reading some of the stuff I've read and knowing some of the stuff you've gone through, man, I've got a lot of questions for you.
I do too. I got a lot of questions. I told you from the moment I found you and saw your book and everything, I was like, I got to get him on the show. And I'm so grateful. It's so awesome to meet people like you who are so people-friendly and approachable. Because I'm not going to name some names, but there are people out there who hit a certain level of celebrityism. I know it's not a word. And you can't even approach them. They won't even talk to you. Yeah. And from the moment I emailed you, you got my message and you were right back with me. You're like, definitely, we'll love to do the show. And you have been so accommodating and just everything you've done. So really just want to commend you for that. It's awesome in your book. Wow, I just can't wait to discuss it tonight. I couldn't wait for tonight. I've just been counting down the days. I'm like, man, I can't wait because I have so many questions. So it's just, I'm excited. So thank you again for agreeing to be on the show.
Oh, it's no problem. It just comes from my foundation. You know, I was born and raised in Kenlock, a very urban community. So no matter what success I attain, I know God is responsible for it, and I wouldn't be a good servant if I don't remain humble. And I don't care if he drops $1 million on me. I still have to remember where I came from and where everything started. And I know through me, I can help other people be blessed and other people reach success. And that's where my success lies.
Give us a little bit more insight into Terry Vance. A lot of people don't know who you are. Some people I can see visually from what I'm looking at on my pages that I've written about you on. You know, people are recognizing you. Some may not know. Could you tell us who Terry Vance is as far as on the personal side, and then give us some insight into who you were before you even began to write, so we can get an understanding of who you are personally.
Terry Vance is a father, a son, a husband. Terry Vance is a servant of God. Terry Vance is a very humble person that's 30, that will be 31 next year on the 8th of January. Terry Bams is a peace seeker, a relationship coach, a mentor, motivational speaker, a person that can take any negative and turn it into a positive, because I believe that it's about the way you go about looking at things and the way you perceive them determines the outcome of the situation. Terry Vance was a womanizer, a guy that was just existing, laws, living life, not really knowing what the truth of life really was, you know, thinking that money was everything, having women, and I was very boastful, arrogant. Even though my wife still tells me I still have my little arrogant ways, but, you know, I think it's better now than it used to be then. I wasn't too much of a violent person. I only had maybe 2 fights in my whole life, but, you know, I knew how to have my choice of words with people. So that's the person that I was. So definitely through the book of the Mind of Womanizer, people will be able to see the growth from the boy that I was and now the man that I am.
Mm-hmm. It says here, I'm reading an excerpt here. It says, the average woman thinks all men are dogs, players, or womanizers. Is that right, Wanda? I had to throw it out there like that. Okay, but it says, I'm reading from the book, it says, the dictionary defines a womanizer as a man who likes many women and has short sexual relationships with them. Men aren't born into the world with a plan to be a womanizer. Womanizing just happens because of many things like looks, body style, money, or maybe sometimes just who knows who. Now, I'm looking at that, and that looks familiar because we, in our family, it was 5 boys and 2 girls. And so we were taught this. And if you didn't do this, for all intents and purposes, and excuse me, our Christian audience out there, we'll call, I was called a punk. Well, you better get out there and get that. You know, are you familiar with that, Terry? I don't know how many
boys
you had in your family.
You know, the weird thing is about my life, like my father, I only know of two women, his wife that he'd been married to for 20-plus years and my mother. So, like, I remember when he read the book, like, he enjoyed it because he was like, man, I wish I had the confidence like you. I wish I was the boy like you was because, you know, I wish I could have did some of them things you did. So, but my grandfather, who I never met, he died when I was, my mother was pregnant with me. He has 40 kids and counting. So, yeah, 40. He has 40 kids and counting.
40? Yes. 40.
4-0,
okay.
Yes, 4-0.
Wow.
40. So I'm guessing it was somewhere in my genes or something to make this come about because it wasn't necessarily that I was taught it because when I was young, I wasn't a handsome man I am today. You know, I wasn't like,
love it.
But when it happened, you know, I took it and I ran with it.
You know, I have a question. I have to start this off right. What makes a man a womanizer or a player? I know it's not something he just wakes up in the morning, looks in the mirror, and says, you know what, I look good. I think I'm going to be a womanizer. I think I'm going to be a player. How does he evolve into that? I mean, it has to be an evolution type thing because I just...
It's really debated off its accessibility to women because... With my situation, I never viewed myself as that. You know, it came to the point of just being called it so much that I figured in the book I would define it because
right.
A lot of these women, they just let me do these things. And
yes.
That's what the root of the problem is with relationships, that women don't realize how much power that they do have. And some things they allow to go on. And it was many great women that I met throughout my life, but mentally I knew that I only had to give a little to get a lot. And then, you know, I was just a boy that didn't know how to say no. So if it was a girl that wanted to be with me on a Monday, I make time for her. And if it was a girl that wanted to be with me on a Tuesday, Wednesday, I make time for her as well. So I think it's really debatable on the accessibility of women, where you're at, how you look, what you have access to, because if you're a rich guy, you know, your accessibility to women is going to be more greater than a guy that's living below average. So it really just depends on that.
Well, you know what, Terry, it's funny. It's really funny because what I'm noticing in this day of time, you're getting a lot more desperate women, and based on the definition you just gave or the explanation you just gave, is it fair to say that we're going to see more womanizers or players emerging because there are so many women who give place to men like
yes.
that?
Most definitely, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because women outnumber men. Women outnumber men, so they see Sarah, Amy, and Jane having one-night stands and getting red bottom shoes and Louis Vuitton purses, so they figure they need to do that too to have that man, but don't realize they never really have that man. They just a property of him, and then when he's done with them, he's moving on to the next. That's the reality of the situation that a lot of women don't realize because they see, it's like see monkey do. You know, they seeing
right.
what other women are doing and thinking they have to do the same thing to keep a man, and, you know, you really don't. You need to stand out and be different.
Right. Can you
Let me ask this question, because I'm hearing something, but I want to clarify for not only our women audience listeners to hear, but our men audience listeners to hear. And you said women have power that they don't realize. Did you say that, Terry?
Mm. Yes.
And they give that power away by settling. Do you agree? They settle for...
I think they give they give the power away from the one key element, and it's sex. That's where the power lies.
Wow.
But, Because if you get back to where when women was created, God didn't create Adam for Eve. He created Eve for Adam. So that would suggest that Eve was created because to fit to the purpose of what God had destined for Adam. And God knew that Adam couldn't become successful. God knew that Adam couldn't fulfill God's purpose without Eve. So when women realize that they are worth so much to mankind, they won't have to just give up sex to get in a relationship, because most of the problems are women think they have to give sex first to get in a relationship, and it's backwards. And that's where the power lies, because just like we said in the beginning, men are very one-track minded. So if you keep us on the one track of us seeing you in that sexy dress and us talking to you about sex, and then you go out drinking and you have sex, we have no reason to think about a future relationship or marriage or nothing else because of the power behind sex.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's real good. That's really good. And I think you hit it on the head. That's absolutely correct. And, you know, and it's funny, though, but when you don't, that's the time, especially if it's a womanizer or a player. If you're not putting out, then they're going to go to the next person that will. So it kind of goes back to the point I brought out a couple weeks ago when we had Tony Gaskins on the show, when I said, what happened to the good girls? And I remember Marvin Sapp, and I brought this up before, but on his page, are hoes winning? Because that's what it feels like. The good girls doesn't have a chance because you got all the bad ones who's willing to put it out there for the womanizing man that every woman wants.
Well, this is the thing, though. No, good girls are winning because a good girl will have a husband and not a boyfriend. A good girl will have a husband and not become a property. That's the difference. The women that are putting out are just becoming properties. They're not dating with a purpose. They're not living with a purpose. And what happens is when they have these children, or as time progresses and they become 30 and 35 and 40, and they look up and see how life has passed them by, now it's time to get into relationships. But the reality situation, too, is the kryptonite, just like how, you know, Superman had his kryptonite, a woman has his kryptonite is that woman that can stimulate his mind, that can be different, that's not giving out. So it's not necessarily saying that just because you don't give out, now this womanizer is going to look by you. No, he might look a bit more into you because now it becomes a challenge. And sometimes a man that get caught up in that challenge, fall in love and forget about all the other 15 women that he was dealing with, because now this woman has opened up his mind and gave him a connection like he never had before just because she was willing to be different.
Wow, I like that. That's good.
Different does stand out.
Oh, different does stand out. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know I know more than anybody. It definitely. But I noticed, too, with, you know, being the different person that I've always been in situations like this, I love what you said, Terry, but because I've lived it, it seems that they mostly will pass by the good girl. Now, I remember the old people used to say that when a man wants a wife, he's going to come to the church. And so I'm finding that happening more now in my older age than when I was younger. Because most of the time in my story is I pretty much wrote my bio, too, basically in my book like you did. And it was me telling people at when I put my book out, now I'm 39, and still been a virgin. And so people know my story now, and so it's kind of like when you tell them the story, and so they form their opinions. And some say, okay, let me see if I can do this or what it's going to take to get this or whatever. But from my experience, most of the time that's not what they want. And these are saved men, or supposed to be saved men. So I hear what you're saying, but I see differently. I really do. And I think it's because in this day and time, or not even just in this day and time, when a womanizer, and I'm going to use that person, when they see they can't get one thing, they're going to go to the next person. I used to date this guy on and off for about 9 or 10 years, and I boasted. I'm like, yeah, he's great. He respects me. He's this. He's all that. And all of a sudden, he just, you know, I would tell him, like, yeah, he's good to me. And they're like, well, you know he's getting it from somewhere else. I'm like, well, no. And I got to thinking about it because everybody kept saying it. And I was like,
y'all dated for 9 or 10 years?
9 or 10 years off and on. And I'm like, he just respects me. He's this, he's that. And I'm like, mom, but you can't be that naive. He's getting it from somewhere else. And I was like, well, maybe he is. And as I got older and started maturing, because, yeah, you know, I am kind of naive in a lot of areas, but I guess in that one, I guess I just thought so highly of him and how he respected me as a woman and my decisions and my integrity and my character. I just didn't, I never thought he would do that. But, you know, after I thought about it, you know, yeah, he was tipping. But I guess I just didn't see it that way. I just didn't.
Right.
But he just didn't want to disrespect me. But, you know, that was his way of, I guess, respecting me by getting it from somewhere else.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, another key thing you have to think about, too, you know, God won't forsake the righteous. And sometimes to change a situation, you have to change your environment. And it's not necessarily saying you have to go to the club or something like that. Simply attending maybe a friend's church events or just doing different things, you'll have different results. That includes maybe changing your hairstyle, changing little simple things about yourself. You know, it attracts different people. Not necessarily saying it attracts someone that's bad, but if you do different things, you'll have different results. That's just how it always happens, even with men and women, if you want to attract something different. And you're right. I mean, there are plenty of men that go to church and they just as worse as the guys that are in the clubs. But, you know, it just comes to a point where you just have to trust God and have faith.
Exactly. How does a woman avoid a womanizer? Is it possible? Let's go start with, can you spot them? How do you spot a womanizer or a player?
A womanizer is kind of hard to spot because a womanizer, he's real smooth. Like a womanizer is what, like a professor of psychology would be to psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Womanizer studies women. Like every woman that a womanizer deals with is not just for sex sometimes. Like, womanizers use women for knowledge as well, you know, so they can learn women, learn what not to do and what to do. The key thing to avoid a womanizer or players are actions. You have to watch actions, not words, actions. You have to watch their every move, not necessarily watch their move, but pay attention. Pay attention to a man's moves because there's guys out here that claim they're womanizers or think they're womanizers, and they're really not, because womanizers, you won't know. You won't know. They won't admit to it, and no one would know if they moved that way. Just like with my life, my past life, people didn't know how I moved, but the guys that was close to me knew, but no one really knew because, you know, them are things you don't really talk about. You just do them. So the only way you can avoid a player womanizer is watch his actions and watch and listen to his words as far as commitment-wise. What a player and a womanizer specialize is not commit, because most womanizers, they don't waste their time committing in relationships if they're going to go around cheating. They can just do it without being in a relationship and make you feel like you, that one and only woman, without even being in a committed relationship with you. And most of these women will know that they're not in a relationship with him, but when he's with me, I feel like I'm on top of the world, and they're so for that.
Well, what is the difference between, I know you keep classifying them differently, and I had put them in the same category.
The difference between a player and a womanizer?
Exactly.
The player is boastful. He's very boastful about what he does. A player will be on Facebook talking about, I'm going to the club and getting on these girls and I'm doing this. And a player is very boastful about what he does. A womanizer, you would never know. I still know some to this day that are slick. They are slick.
And he's like a down low player.
He Yeah, I mean, he just moves. You know, womanizers just know what to say, how to say it. They know what girls to deal with, what girls not to deal with. I'm not even on the sense of saying that womanizer seeks a woman with low self-esteem or anything. Womanizers still mess with some of the high-caliber women that's out there, but they know what to do and what not to do is the key thing. But you won't. That's the difference between the two. Like, women know who are the players. Like, they know when they go to the club and see that guy, or he being all in his face. A womanizer, you wouldn't see him in every single woman's face in the club or out somewhere. He would be to himself, chilling, because he's going to attract the women to him.
So the womanizer, the more skilled players.
Right. They're more skilled at what they do.
All right. Cool. So you could probably see a player coming, but you'll never see a womanizer coming.
Definitely.
Okay. So I'm pretty good at
it. Because you said because the womanizer plans ahead, is proactive, and knows exactly what to do. Pre-calculation.
I can give you an example. In the Modern Womanizer book, I had a situation where it was this girl that I wanted, and I was in the club. But I know in the club, you don't want to for one, I had a thing about rejection. I didn't like rejection. So I mastered on how not to get rejected. So I knew in the club you just can't go up to every single girl trying to talk to them. It's just because other women are watching as well.
Right.
So I had a situation where I would buy a woman a drink and I would walk away. I would not say nothing at all. Because I knew at that point it would intrigue her mind to be like, so he really just going to buy me a drink and walk away? Or it would intrigue her mind to be like, okay, who was that? You know, that fear of loss. So I knew at that point either one or two things were going to happen. Either I wasted my $5, but I didn't get rejected and never said nothing to her, or she would start pursuing me. And that's how you turn the tables. I knew to turn the tables on to make her pursue me instead of me pursuing her. And them are things that womanizers know how to do.
Interesting. Well, I'm learning a lot. I always wanted to
see things. So if a guy buy you a drink, if a guy buy you something, I don't care what it is, just accept it and walk away.
You know what's funny? What's really funny about that, I have always been the type of female that I would never allow. If now minus the flowers or, you know, dinner or things like that or a movie, that's cool because that's part of the date. But I would never allow a man to buy me anything because I think that goes back to my teaching that my mom always said to me that if you allow a man to buy you something, he's going to expect something. And that might not be true for all men, but that grew up in me. And so, like I said, minus the flowers, movie, dinner, whatever, that was the extent of it. Maybe if it was a birthday present or Christmas, and even then, you know, I had a limit there because I never wanted him to expect something for what he did for me because I wasn't putting out. It was just that simple. So I think it's just, you know, more women need to be more cautious about, you know, allowing a man to do too much for them. Even with my nephews now, you know, he's young and, you know, he's very impressionable and he'll start dating a girl and he'll start doing too much. I'm like, babe, slow down. You're doing too much for her. You know, she's going to start expecting all this. So if women need to be more aware of things like that. Stop asking men for stuff. It's just crazy.
Right.
Besides, it really makes you look cheap. That's just my opinion.
You're right. I mean, unless you're in a committed relationship with someone and you guys are building on your future, then it's a different story because now you come together financially and you know what's your goals, what's her goals, and then you build it from there. But if you're not in a committed relationship with them, you know, it's a sense of trying to have some control. Trying to have you depend on them when a man gets to spending money on a woman.
Yep.
You know, it's nothing wrong with gifts if this is the person that you're exclusively dating, you know, and the person you're with.
Right.
but out the gate, you know, taking you to buy you bags and things of that such.
Yeah, that's
some red flags that, you know, he's going to try to control you eventually.
Mm-hmm. Committed relationships, that's where it should start. But, yeah, right at the gate, that's just a no-no for me.
Right.
People just need to be more aware of that. So I'm thankful that, you know, people like you are being transparent and saying, this is where I am. And with that being said, let's segue into, you know, some of the topics in your book. I know some of the ones that we wanted to discuss tonight. I don't know if you want to start with the beginning first or military life first or the love triangle.
It don't make a difference. I just kind of just randomly pick some.
Okay.
Let's
start with the beginning.
The beginning pretty much is just, it talks about when I was in, I guess, junior high, when I finally started, I guess, looking cute, and girls started paying me attention. That's what everything started. That's what I was like, oh, okay, now I know what to do and what not to do. But the beginning basically talks about things that we go through in junior high. I mean, some of everyone. The good thing about the book is even, you know, you can find positives and negatives in the book, everywhere in it. But the good thing about the book is no matter who it is that read it, you can find yourself in there. It doesn't matter. Something that you did in high school or junior high, or if you was in the military or anything in this world, you can find something in there that you might have did or you know someone that did it. So the beginning just talks about where everything started at. You know, when I mentioned earlier that I wasn't the attractive guy that I am today, when it all started, when I first had my first two women that was fighting over me and just different things. Like, it was very funny reading the beginning. Because when I wrote the book, I wasn't even saved. Like, when I first started writing the book, like, if you really pay close attention, like, probably after the Fort Polk chapter, my language started to change. Like, I first started writing the book, you know, I was, you know, MF it is, so I was this and I was that. But that's where my mind was, you know, and that's the things that, you know, I did several interviews that I tell people, like, you know, when I first started writing that book, it was just going to be for an ex-girlfriend. It was never really going to be published. It was going to be for her so she can see how my life was, how in debt my life was, so she can get an understanding on why I be so quick to run when problems occur. Well, we broke up, and before we broke up, I had the book like halfway done, but I got so busy in everything that I was doing in life that I couldn't mentally go back to write because I was writing from memory. So it was like when I get in the zone of writing, I'm just writing from where I was at that time. If I was 15 years old and cussing, I wrote how I was at that point in time. So when we broke up and God got to pulling me more to him, it just kept revealing to me to finish it and put it out. But at that time, my mind was transforming. So my language started changing up some. It wasn't as MF it is and this and that and this and that. So the transition, you know, it shows. But the reality of it was I wrote the book like if I was writing it 2002 at that moment, like how I thought, how I talked, how everything to give you a visual on the type of man I was at that point. The military life talks about my experience in the military. You know, I got in right out of high school, and it just talks about the experiences. Like, I share one that was very humorous that I put in the book. I went to Fort Benning for basic training, and Fort Benning is an all-man. I don't know now, but then back in 2000, it was an all-male basic training. So we didn't see any females for, I mean, I don't think it was like 2-3 months maybe. So I was curious. Remind you, I'm an 18-year-old boy. I was curious, you know, during the time I was sexually active. I was curious because I didn't, like, have sex or nothing for about 2 months, I think it was. So I was very curious to see, like, what would happen if I did, I guess, quote unquote. So I got up the nerve to go in the shower, took a shower, and relieved myself. And when I relieved myself, I almost passed out. I almost passed out.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It was just funny. It was one of my experiences. That's what the military life talked about. It talked about, you know, when I was at Fort Benning, when I was at Fort Lee, and I had a little puppy love at Fort Lee, and me finding out about my son when he was like 3 months old, and if I wanted to, because the reason why I joined the Army was to go to school. So I had to make a decision, do I go to Jackson State and play football, or do I come back home and raise my son? So I chose to come back home. So that's what military life pretty much talks about.
Wow.
All right. Can't say love
I wanted to read something. I found this on the back, and I wanted to read this. And it's just a little bit lengthy, but I really wanted to cover it all. It says, ever made love to 100 women, over 100 women? Have you ever attempted sex with 26 women at once? Have you ever been in love with a person who met the criteria of your dreams, but you could never reach a place of commitment? I never thought this would become my life, but it did. From fitting 10 women into one day to hiding another woman's car so my mistress would not see it. Not to mention continuous manipulation and deceit through this lifestyle, I learned an orgasm is a powerful drug that ignites side effects such as stalking, threats on your life, and even fatal attraction. Yeah. Some may call this the gift, a gift, and some may call it a curse, but it takes place every day. This may not have been your life, but I openly invite you to walk through the story of mine. I welcome you into the mind of a womanizer. I got one word, Terry. Really? That's the only word I got. Really? I don't know where to start. Over 100 women?
Probably, that's probably their response that everyone that had a flyer in their hand that read that and came back and bought the book right though. Yeah, like literally, like I didn't realize that until maybe I was about 21, 22 maybe, when we was bored on deployment and was trying to count, and I just really couldn't. I don't know.
10 women in one day.
Well, it wasn't 26 women in one day. You know, the readers will have to read the book to find out the 26 women at a time, how did that occur. But the people that read the book, they know what the 26 women are.
Wow. Whew. I got to finish. I got to start this book. I'm speechless, obviously. I'm never speechless, Terry.
It will leave you there. It definitely will. Because, and like I said before, like I was a boy that didn't know how to say no. That was the key thing. You know, a lot of these situations happen because, you know, women, they allowed it. You know, most of the situations, it wasn't forced. Until I was like 15, 16, actually.
Yeah.
So I lied about it. You know, when you were a boy, you know, and you're like, you're 12, 13, and they're like, yeah, I'm getting some. Like, yeah, I'm getting some, too, knowing the back of my head I ain't did nothing at all. But I didn't officially lose my virginity until I was like 15 or 16.
And I'm trying to stay quiet to protect myself and innocence and everything. But
really,
you're
trying to stay quiet? That's just wrong. I feel like I have to sit in front of
you. We have a guest here, Vonda. We're trying to interview the guest.
I'm just wondering how much I'm thinking if our guests, I mean, our callers would start calling, and I think they'd have the same question, how much womanizing ways of our host did he have in him or have in him?
We're interviewing Terry Vance. No, I was reading about Robin and Melissa and Tasha. That's so, it starts so innocent and young, it begins to be a bigger, then it becomes an addiction because it is allowed. It becomes something that it can be habitual, and it turns into something that's every day. I mean, it's something I can understand at 26, and it may not be. Okay, I gotta say, it may not be sex, but it might be oral. It might be something that they just want something. I can understand how, you know what I'm saying, Terry? I understand what you're saying, and I don't want to get too graphically detailed, but I can understand something like that happening. But let me ask this question. Let me get off of that. How can you turn the tide? And I believe there's an anointing on you. Okay, let me get to ministry. There's an anointing on your life for God has put something on you to do something. I see a lot of women out there now. I see a lot of my own relatives, my nieces, nephews, great nieces and nephews, and they're falling under the victim of being prey to womanizers. What can you say to them now? How can you reach out to them now? What can you say to prick their hearts right now? If you would.
The ones that already been victimized or the ones that might be victimized?
Both. I mean, what can you say to just put something in
their
spirit?
Well, the ones that haven't, I would definitely, like, oh, I pray to God my daughter listen to me. Wait until you're married to have sex. Because sex, it controls so much with a situation, so much with a man. To so much, because there are guys out there that are not really womanizers that just want to have sex, and it doesn't necessarily mean they're a womanizer, but that's their goal. And a lot of women don't have sex just because they have sex, and it's emotional ties with sex to a woman. So what happens is these women have sex with these men and gain feelings, and he doesn't feel anything.
Right.
So what I would tell the youth is avoid having sex as long as you can. Just because you see Sarah and Jane doing it doesn't mean that you're missing out on anything, because not only do you take the risk of getting pregnant on STDs, but you take the risk of your feelings if he's not feeling the same way. And definitely, if he's 18 and you're 18 having sex, you might not even know each other at 25 anymore. And now you're heartbroken and you become bitter and insecure because of what someone did to you when you was 18. But women that are already victimized by womanizers, take it as a lesson learned. Learn from your mistakes. God created every man to be different. So just because one man did it doesn't mean the next one do. But definitely learn from it, but don't become bitter behind it and think that every man is going to be that way. If you're victimized, sometimes God let us go through things to bring us closer to him. So if you've been victimized, you need to commit yourself a little bit more to God. That way, this time, he can send you the man that's purpose for you instead of you going to go find one that you think is for you. That's the difference, because if you wait on him, it's no failure in God. And most of the time we try to do things on our own and we fail every single time. But through our commitment, he will provide, because he's a provider.
Right.
I love it. Now, flip the script a little bit for the men. I've got nieces and nephews, even my son out there. It's easy for them to be targets just like yourself, because the women giving away power to us. So you share from that standpoint, from your heart, to those out there, those men out there.
Men not being womanizers, and why not to do it, and if they are, how to change?
Yeah, whatever God lays on your heart to share. This is that platform.
Well, the main key is is purpose. If you realize the way man and woman were created, and even if you just look at life itself, you know, a king can't be a king without a queen, and a president can't be a president without a first lady. Just like James Brown said, it's a man's world, but it's nothing without a woman. When God created Adam, you know, he supplied him with Eve. So it will suggest that the success for a man, because of how we were created, we need a woman for that stability. These are things that I knew and I tried to do throughout my life, because I got married at a young age, but I didn't know nothing about marriage. Didn't even know nothing about God even when I got married. But I wanted to commit, and I had commitment always on my mind. It just, when it didn't work out, I used women to fill those voids. So what men need to realize is, for every 10 women that we meet, 5 of them want to be good women. One or two of them might even be great. The other 3 are just going to be out there. They're not going to serve you no purpose. So for us, the numbers aren't great to have that perfect woman for us, because it's in women's essence to be caring, to be a helpmate, to cook, to clean, to do all these things they do that's normal to them, because it's the way God created them. We as men just have to make the choice, do we want to have success early in our life, or do we want to wait till later? If we make that decision early at 21, 22, or even 18, that woman can create that stability in our life, because, as they say, women mature faster than men. And I believe, you know, after talking to thousands of people, it's very true. They do, because it's just the way they're created. Mm-hmm. So for a man that's not a womanizer, I say it's best that when you have a good woman on your side, hold on to her.
Yes, sir.
Just because you always think the grass is greener on the other side because Sharon Jane has a bigger booty or longer hair doesn't necessarily mean that it is, because the woman that you're with, she knows you personally. She accepts your flaws. She accepts your imperfections. She accepted that you might only have 9 toes and not 10 that Sarah doesn't even know about. So these are the things that men have to realize before it's too late. But some men wait until they're in their 30s and 40s. Then at that time, it becomes too late, or now the options are a little bit slimmer. But not saying that you still can't be that old and not have a good woman and reach success. But if I knew what I know now at 21, my life would be, So that's what I would tell the men that are not womanizers, and the men that are, I mean, they in time will come to a soon. I mean, the end will come eventually.
Yes.
It will. Even living alone or hurt or whatever it is, but being a womanizer, you're doing nothing but simply existing. And you have to think about, you know, one day you might have a daughter, and what you're doing to the women will be done to your daughter one day. Or you might have a mother, or you might have a niece or a cousin, and what you're doing will be done to them one day, and they might come crying to you about something you already did. So them are things to think about.
That's good. That's real good. I love that. I mean, but, you know, because in this, again, I keep saying in this day and time, but that's just the world we're living in. It's cool. It's cool for the men to be womanizers and players, because those are the ones that get the women, and that's what's important. That's what sex sells. I mean, we all know that. And in this day and time for women, it's cool. It's a good thing to be loose, you know, and because that's what gets the men's attention. And so it's hard when you – I love our youth, and it's what I do. I love teaching youth and trying to be – I've always tried to be an example, even teaching Sunday school for the last, oh, my God, probably 9 years. The thing I've always told my girls is about being classy, not trashy. But trashy is what they go for. At the end of the day, trashy Trump classy. And I've always loved being treated like a lady. It made me feel good when a man would open the door for me, and they treated me like a lady. And it was just, I can't explain it. But yet, if the only thing you've ever been treated like, you know, was trashy, and you got all these men's attention, that's what made them feel good. So they don't,
right.
They feel the same way I do, but they're doing it differently, if that makes sense. So how do you
it's all what they're exposed to. That's what you have to realize. Like, majority of the people anywhere from the age range, if we're talking about seriously dating, from 18 to 30 are exposed to rap videos and what rappers are doing and what actors are doing and having red bottoms and living this life that's fictitious that they see on TV and they see on movies. So that's what you're exposed to. Because if you realize it, if you really think about it, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, they didn't have that problem because man was opening doors and treating women like ladies because they wasn't exposed to nothing else different because technology wasn't as advanced as it is
now.
So since men these days are exposed to those things and they see these guys have the money, they have the cars, they have the girls, so now they push to have that too because the root to this whole thing is I need the cute girl, I need the money, I need this, and I gotta have this because of what they're watching. But if you let all these rappers and actors and people that they look into change their image and say, hey, we need to do this and do that, they'll follow suit. It's guaranteed.
Yep. I mean, reality TV is filled with that, and that's what most of the television stations are filled with is reality TV. Women that barely have clothes on, they're called bees and hoes, and you know,
right.
My nieces and nephews, it's acceptable language. Come here, bee.
Right.
Okay. I mean, they accept that. And that's what they want to be called. And so our job, you know, and your job, Terry, your job, Vonda, my job, is hard, but we got to keep doing it because we got to change the tide some kind of way. And it's hard, but we do it. We get out there and do the best we can.
Yeah,
I want
to ask you a question.
We
just have to be the same as we want to see in the world.
Okay.
It always starts with one person. You know, if you go back to thinking about, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, it started with one person, you know,
that's all it ever takes.
You know, I always say I might not be able to help every single one person in the world, and I might have a thousand and one people that might hate me, but as long as I can help one person at a time, I'm satisfied with that, because if I can help one person at a time and they can tell me, you know, Terry, I was on the verge of killing myself before I talked to you. Can't nobody else tell me nothing else after that fact because I know I just saved a soul. I know I just saved someone. So nothing else matters after that, no matter what anyone else says about me or what they can say. But it starts with us. It starts with one person sticking to it no matter what comes their way. Because trust me, I didn't have enough come my way, but I say you got to try a little bit harder, devil.
Hey, Terry, we still have a dream, don't we? We still have a dream.
I think I have that dream, too, actually.
Amen. I want to ask something and ask something of you, Terry, and I do this quite frequently. You're a motivational speaker, and you coach many people, and there's several books on the inside of you, and you've had so many experiences of talking to people. To reach down deep, and there's something in you to speak to this generation and something tapping on the inside of you. Could you say something that you haven't said before that's been on your heart? Speak on something that's been bothering you to speak to. I mean, you might have already done it, but is there something on your heart to speak to America about? Just maybe it's in the book that you're going to write, or maybe it's just something that you haven't said yet, but it's on your heart.
I mean, it's funny you say that because most of the time I find myself waking up in the middle of the night and I might write in my memo on my BlackBerry, whatever God put on my mind in the middle of the night, and I know it'd be nothing but Him. the things that I think about, whether it's something on the post and talk about or anything. But the main thing I would want to talk to people about is really dating with a purpose. It's like you can't get away from having relationships with people because everyone's going to have a companion. You know, you design not to be alone and be with someone. But we have to stop wasting time. Like, as you see today, you know, my prayers go out to the family members up in Connecticut. But as you see, I mean, the days are coming to an end. Like, they really are. When someone can be that gone in the head to go shoot some children, I mean, you just, you have to see this is a negative-driven Satan world right now. And you really have to get your life together. And it's not even on the sense of telling people you need to become this holy saint and give your life to Jesus, but you definitely need to do some things different because there's nothing out here. It's nothing. Yeah. I realized how much money I done blew and wasted on popping bottles and doing dumb stuff, but I wish I can get that money back so I can put it to some good use. But people are wasting time. As many times you always hear people say, well, tomorrow isn't promised, then I would say, are you living like it is? Because if God came down and told you today you need to change your life or you're going to die tomorrow, I bet there would be so many people running to church, giving their life to the Lord and making changes, but people really don't live their life like that. And the most the root, even though no sin is greater than the next, but the root to the everything that is the problem with most people is fornication, sex.
Yeah.
You know, it's the flesh. You can't. Yeah. It's hard to fight off your flesh. So even in the Bible it said, because I remember it was this woman that commented on one of my posts saying that being single is a gift. I'm like, no, single is a choice unless God ordained for you to be that way, like Jesus and Apostle Paul. But even he said, if you can't, you need to marry before you burn of passion.
That's right.
And that's what people don't realize. And then also I want to talk about marriage. Like, I don't say it burns me up, but I know the truth now. I know marriage isn't of the world. I know marriage is not a piece of paper. I know marriage is not complicated. Marriage is of God. That's what he ordained for man woman to have. Boyfriend and girlfriend was, you don't find that nowhere in the Bible. That was man-made.
That's
He didn't believe in that. He believed in man, woman, husband, wife. So when you get married, people need to realize, before you, even like I have my clients, and I tell them, I will straight tell them, you don't marry him until he get a relationship with God because he needs to know what marriage truly is. And you won't know what marriage truly is until you get into the Word of God to really know what marriage is, because there's so many men that want their woman to submit to them, but who are they submitting to, the world? So why should a woman follow you and you following the world? It doesn't line up that way. So people need to get the understanding what marriage truly is. It's just like I made a post maybe about a couple weeks ago about how people would say, oh, I'm not getting married, the divorce rates are high. But then I said, well, STD and AIDS rates are even higher, but it's not stopping people from having sex. So why are you so afraid to get married, but then you laying down at night still having sex with someone? It just doesn't make sense. And people are scared of a statistic with not knowing that marriage requires work, just like having sex with someone.
Right.
It requires work. You have to literally take off your clothes, put on your best performance, and hope it's good enough that they want to come back again. So it still requires work. But what people don't realize is why it's important when people say, you know, when you get married, put God first, put God first, put God first. You put God first before you get married, because when you get married, now you're doing what God ordained for man and women. So then the devil gets busy. That's why the divorce rates are so high, because people are not realizing that I have a foundation with God that I have to maintain my marriage. It's like, for example, me and my wife spend about maybe 2 to 3 days on the average at church. Not because we necessarily want to, because we need to, because we're married. We need that foundation to keep us going, because the devil will prey on either one of us at our weak time to break up our union. So if you don't keep that foundation right and that structure together, your house, that now that you made a home, is going to fall apart every single time. And that's why the divorce rate is so high, because of that foundation ain't right. The foundation ain't put together. People get married just because, but forget where marriage started at. When you get married, it says, he said, the priest or whoever marry you, all, even you go to the courthouse, says these two people are coming together in holy matrimony. It means you're coming together before God at the end of the day. And that's what people don't realize before you take that step. And that's why I'm pushing next year the Date with a Purpose tour, because that's the purpose, to get to marriage, not to be a boyfriend and girlfriend forever.
That's right.
What's the
sense
of that?
Date with a purpose.
You've been with somebody for 2 years, and it's not going anywhere. You can't necessarily go buy a house with someone that's your girlfriend or boyfriend.
Right.
I mean, the people that's selling you the house going to look at you kind of crazy, like, you guys not married. You know, but when you're married to someone, you can build. You can start a family. You can have a 401K. You can plan on your future. You can do different things when you're married, because now you can build together versus just being a boyfriend, girlfriend. You can't necessarily build. And then even people will say, well, oh, Terry, you know, well, what if he divorced you? What, you can't build with a husband. He didn't have your own. Well, then if you have to question new things about your husband or wife, you shouldn't marry them.
That's right.
If you think they're going to divorce you and it's not going to work, you don't need to marry them. Because you need to go in knowing that this is going to work. You don't have a choice. This is going to work. I don't care what's going on. As long as you don't step outside this house and I don't step outside this house, this is going to work. Because let it start with the foundation. If the foundation is not right and you're not staying steadfast with the foundation, it will crumble every single time. And my right hand of God, he knows. I have 1,000 clients that I coach. Always the foundation is messed up. Always.
Wow.
Okay,
that's pretty much it.
We're at the top of the hour, but I want to ask you, do you have anything that you want to announce as far as your book, where people can get your book, and also you said you're coming to Dallas, but also any other events that you're doing. I know we got somebody that want to ask a question, but we want to respect the time. So I'll apologize to number 75, and we'll get you on next time when we have Terry back on, because I know we have to have you back on. But please make some announcements.
I mean, I have time. I don't know if you have to get off or not, but, I mean, I can stay on as long as you guys can stay on. I don't know how much time you guys have.
Is that all right to take the call, Vonda? You wanna?
Go ahead and take the call.
Okay, 75 years old. I know who you are. Go ahead. You got a question for Terry?
Yeah, I want to know, how can I be a womanizer? Because it sounds exciting.
No, that's my nephew. He's also a co-host of one of our shows. Doing the kitchen joke. He's just joking. Go ahead.
I can get high profile women. I guess I'm messing with the low profile women.
He's just joking, Terry.
No, I'm totally just kidding. This was great. It was very great. I was listening. And I was kind of touched how, you know, you went into the self-reflecting stage, and I also was real touched on the part to where you was talking about if you could save one soul. That was, you know, a lot of people don't even think about saving one soul, let alone you thinking about, you know, saving more than that. So that was real honorable right there. But being a womanizer did sound exciting, though. For a second there, I was about to change my profession.
Only you would think that.
let me my co-host during the week.
Being a womanizer, I wouldn't say necessarily it's exciting, but it's dangerous.
I would think it would be.
Because I have been chased with a knife. I have had my left, my right eardrum almost busted all the way out. I didn't have cars scratched up. I didn't have windows busted out. Because you have to realize, like I said before, women don't have sex just because. But majority of them, not going to say all of them, majority of them, they have sex through emotions. So if your sex is good and you getting into her emotions and you start playing with them emotions, she going to react. And back in, you know, back in 2000, 2001, 2002, maybe 2005, the caliber of woman was kind of different. But now in 2012,
come on, talk about it.
I wouldn't play around because these women these days are killing people, man.
They are. So what you're saying is that being a womanizer is too expensive? Okay, I'm out because I eat canned goods already.
No, not even that. Because even when you read the book, The Modern Womanizer, I didn't, I guess you could say, quote unquote, didn't trick. I didn't really spend money on women because I knew what to do and what not to do. And I didn't attract the women that was gold diggers because they knew they couldn't get over on me. So, now,
I mean, but I'm 32. I mean, the fact like the doctor bill for the burnt ear, the new windshield. All that
them facts can get expensive. Yeah, you definitely want to not experience that life, especially at 32, because the women you're going to be dating at this caliber at age, they're going to definitely be looking for to be married, to settle down, to have someone. At the age 21, 22, 23, maybe even 25, you can play around with them women because they're not. They're necessarily looking for the same thing you're looking for, but when you get above 30, women over 30 not playing. They have children already.
Yep.
They have a career. They're ready to settle down, so they're not really ready to play games. So you play with a woman that's above 30, yeah, she might definitely slash up the tires.
I'd probably be much better going off with a woman like myself, you know, the 30 and over virgin.
There you go, Vonda.
There you go. Okay, let's give our guests some commercial time. Let's let our people know where you are and where you're going to be and where they can buy your book.
You can buy The Mind of the Womanizer at themodernwomanizer.com. It's on Kindle and Nook for $2.99. It's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. I haven't announced yet, but whoever listening will know first that the sequel will be out next month. I'm not going to say the exact day,
awesome. But
it will be out next month. It will pretty much pick off from where book one left off at, and it's going to have a lot of twists and turns, but at the end of the day, it's the truth, and it is my life. I do have several self-help books that's due out next year. I'm really driving on Dating with a Purpose. So if you don't want to hear me talking about being married 1,001 times, I advise you to stop listening because I'm about to embed it into your head over and over again. I am booked to an event, speaking engagement in Tampa. In February in Chicago, in February I will be in Dallas, in April so far. But I will be putting out those things on Facebook and Twitter. You can add me on Facebook at Arthur Terry Bams. Twitter, follow me at Mr. Bams. If you just can't find me at all, just put in Mr. Bams or put in Bams in Google and I guarantee I'll probably come up. And yes, that is my real name.
All right. And also, everybody in the Dallas area, April 2013, you'll be here. And I want you to support. Let's all support. Let's show up and you know, show them that Dallas loves Terry Bams. All right?
All right. All right.
This has been a wonderful show. Hey, we enjoyed talking to you, too. And please, when you show up in Dallas, we're going to come out and do some kind of live remote. Or just even if it's just a minute, we're going to be there to show our support of you.
Definitely.
Yeah, we'll definitely touch base and get something together and do something together.
I like it. Thank you so much, Terry. I've had a great time tonight.
Good.
Okay. All right. We're in our turn.
One more time. What did you say that was on Facebook?
Arthur Terry Bams.
Arthur Terry Bams or Terry Bams?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening in, everybody from the chat room, and everybody that's been just listening from your desktop or your laptop. We love you. NICOM says good night, and thank you to everybody one more time. God bless you, and good night.
Good night.